This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back. Junkies coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. Brought to you by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. You looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber? Visit cropmetcalf.com to join their team. It's Bish, Cakes, EB, and JP. That is a foursome. Join us right now on the BetQL Guest Hotline. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. It is insider for ESPN.com. Covers the Commanders, John Keim. Hey, John.
What up, guys?
So, hey, John, buddy. Let's start with Wentz, because you watched him every day in training camp, and we heard talk about his inaccuracy. And Wentz, the first 2 weeks, gives you 7 touchdowns, a lot of big plays. I think he was second in the league in passing yardage. But he was under siege yesterday, but he also seems to hold on to the ball a really long time. What did you see from Wentz yesterday in the pocket?
Yeah, well, I mean, 9 sacks. And obviously, when you have that many sacks, some of them are going to be on the quarterback. And there were a couple times where there was one early in the game where he could have thrown – there were a couple he could have thrown earlier. Like, there was a 2nd and 16 where he's under pressure, and I just watched this again. So he's under pressure, and the protection wasn't great. But he's got McLaurin open on the hitch right away, hit your plant throw. It's 6-7 yards. And Darius Slay coming up behind, but there's enough of a cushion where that ball gets in there. So it's 6 or 7 yards. Well, he doesn't throw, and now it's 3rd and 22. Mm-hmm. You know, so like that's an example for him of there's poor protection, and yet you could have mitigated the issue by just getting rid of the ball. And there were a couple like that. Now, there were other times, too, where the pressure's on him in like 2.5 seconds. And the Eagles did a good job, for example, I can't remember which one this was, but they did a good job covering the shallow crossers. And this is a play where Terry's coming off a crosser. There's 2 guys running to the one way, Terry coming the opposite way. He sneaks behind the defense and would have been wide open for a huge gain, but Wentz is already down. Now, there was also a slower developing play. So it took Terry about 3 seconds or so to get over there. And against that pass rush yesterday, he was never going to have that kind of time. So, you know, so there were definitely a lot of times where that pressure was on him pretty quick. And there were times where the Eagles fooled them with their looks and what might come, and that added to it. But there were definitely a couple times where you said, okay, you could have gotten rid of the ball here and maybe it's not a big gain, but you're living to fight another down. Even the one where he fumbled, it was a first down. And there were 2 guys underneath. Now, I can't remember. There was a tight end. I don't know if he could have sat against the zone. He kept going and was going into another defender. But Gibson was also there, too. Check down 5 yards, 2nd and 5, instead of a fumble going the other way. Those are some of the plays that you look at and say, this is where that clock has to tick a little bit faster and get rid of the ball when you know that you're under siege a lot, too.
I'll tell you what threw me, and I should have recognized this more, but I figured, oh, Schweitzer would be in there. He's played center before. And then I noticed, especially when I watch it back, like the first snap was like high and slow. Yeah, and then a lot of them were low. They were quicker, but low. And it just takes you a little out of your rhythm, right? And then when you're under siege, and then you're that half beat out of rhythm because you don't even know where the hell the snap's going to be. I don't want to make excuses for Carson. It's on him. But that is a massive deal, that center, you know, quarterback exchange.
Oh, it
especially
is, definitely. There was one of the sacks came off that where the snap was higher to and to his right a little bit. So, yeah, it definitely – and that was only – I think it was like the third time Schweitzer's actually played the position. And I think as a run blocker, he does pretty well. But there's a lot that goes into playing that position.
So much.
Chase Roullier, Chase Roullier does a nice job because it's also about the protection.
Yeah.
There are a couple times like the line slid the wrong way against the look and it leads to a free rusher. You know, those kind of things that it's not easy to replace – the what some of those details of the position, certainly not right away.
So what can they do? Is there a center on the market, like a real center?
Well, they signed Nick Martin last week as a veteran center. So if you wanted to, if he gets, you know, he gets caught up, he has a lot of starting experience at the position.
Yeah.
And so you could, once he gets caught up with things, if you wanted to, and if, and you know, give, Schweitzer's going to need a couple games to also get more acclimated to it.
Yeah.
Just because he played it last year doesn't mean that he's proficient, right? And he only played a couple games before he got hurt. So you could always slide him there, and then if you wanted to put Schweitzer back as a guard, a right guard, if they don't feel like Trey Turner's cutting it, or at least then bolster your depth at guard with Schweitzer there. So you can do that. Tyler Larson would have been the guy, but he's still recovering from that Achilles injury late last year, so that's not an option. And you know, I think right now the best options for them are Schweitzer or Nick Martin. But yeah, looking at that, I agree with you. Like there's, and I like what Schweitzer brings an attitude out there. I think that's all good.
I like
good.
Him. Yeah,
but it's, right. But it's that doesn't mean it's easy to play the position, and it's not. And I think there are little things that popped up that you saw.
All right, early second quarter, the pass down the right sideline to Devontae. Just watching it live, I'm not sure where you were, JK, but just watching it live, I said, there's no way he got 2 feet in. Great catch, but there's just no way.
The whole country knew.
The whole country, right. So they obviously Philly gets up there quick to run a quick play because they didn't want Ron to challenge it. He's too late in throwing the flag. How does that work? Who's supposed to tell him that? Why didn't Ron throw it earlier? Because that didn't lead to a touchdown. It led to a field goal, but that was still a huge play for Philly.
It was, and that's on him. He's got to throw the flag, and he said that. Certainly somebody's going to buzz down in his ear and say, like, you know, yes or no. I think it was hard for whoever it was to tell right away. And even the officials, you know, even later, they said they really weren't sure because it was hard to tell. But, yeah, you got to throw that one up faster than that because that was such a bang-bang play or you know, coming down with the ball that – if you're not sure and you're stepping on the field because he was, then you got to throw the flag, and that's what he said too. So that's
especially in the first half. I mean, who cares?
It's
about
one
it?
Thing if it's the second half. You want to save that
just
to
throw the flag,
but,
right? Yeah, yeah, no, yeah. I think that's one where it's like if it's that close because it was. I agree with you. Like when they rule them in, like holy crap, you know, like that was phenomenal. But then you see the replay, and Rivera said later he still couldn't tell after watching replay if he got it in. I think when you see that, he's like, oh, yeah, I definitely should have thrown that.
John,
because
he clearly was out.
Yeah.
John, it seems like Scott Turner is slow to adapt, and I'm being kind with that. How much quick game are we going to see incorporated next week against Dallas to try to offset the pass rush and try to avoid, you know, 9-ish sacks in the next game?
You act like they have a really good pass rusher.
Yeah. They pretty much do.
I think, to be honest, like there were times even last week where there were some three-step drops. The first drive last week, 2 3-step drops and nobody's open or the, you know, it's, I think there was a sack on one of them because that's what they were covering too. So I always, that's when you always hear like pressure or coverage matching the pressure. I saw it last week and I saw it this week. And so I think that sometimes takes that away, but yes, you can do things to offset that. Cause there were a couple of times where like I pointed out the one to McLaurin that took a while to develop. And there's, you know, the play, you know, they use play action to try and slow them down. And the play action, I know last week and there were a couple of times this week where it's like, it just didn't matter. And because guys are on them either fast or it took too long. So yeah, you can use more of that. I also think what you can do better is run the ball sooner and get into a rhythm more with that and staying ahead of the chains, versus just trying to drop back right away. and getting into possible negative situations. So I wouldn't be surprised if you see more of that early on next week to help to have, because then you can, you know, once you get that going, and there were a couple times like you can get the jet action going and hold them a little bit more with the pass rush. One time they changed Wentz's launch angle. They had him play action, then sprint roll out to the right, and he hit Samuel. So you didn't see a lot of that, and I think credit the Eagles for keeping that pocket pinched. But maybe some more of that as well. But yeah, I mean, there's definitely more things you can do to slow that rush, or to, whether it's a screen or whatever, and not every defense is susceptible to screens, but certainly there are other things that you can try to slow that pass rush or take advantage of the aggression that they're showing as well.
Talking to John Keim, covers the Commanders for ESPN.com. Let's flip to the defensive side. So there were moments in that game, like the first quarter, second half, where the defense played well, but I'm looking at the numbers overall, and through 3 weeks, they're giving up over 400 yards a game, which I think puts them at 27th in the league. And I'm wondering what they can do about it at this point. I know that Chase Young is there. Have you heard any rumblings of when he might return? What can we expect from this defense?
Yeah, I think, to be honest, too, early on yesterday, they did their job.
Sure.
They were fighting.
And yeah, I mean, like, they got no help from the offense. And it's funny because last week, the offense didn't give them any help, but I also thought the defense, just they were consistently giving up those plays, and even when the offense did better, it didn't matter. And there were just those breakdowns in the details. And then yesterday, there were a couple times you're like, okay, here it comes from the Eagles, here it comes, and it didn't come. And then they get that big play, and like you said, they held them to a field goal. So they were doing their job. And then you look at, like, they were, for them, what they need is a full contingent of players, because they don't have a lot of margin for error. They don't have a lot of depth on that side of the ball. That's the problem. But you knew that going into camp. You knew that going into the season. Like, corner depth was an issue. Linebacker depth, an issue. And so then when you lose depth up front, then it makes it even harder. But they play the run well, but those big plays are killers, and they keep happening. And so what can you do there? I mean, getting Young back would help. I don't know when he's coming back. He's eligible to come back for week 5.
Right.
All signs have been optimistic about his return, but until you see him out there practicing, I mean, to be honest, like, it's going to be really hard to go from rehabbing to throwing on pads, practicing a couple of days, and then going and playing. You're just not there. So I don't know. Sometimes they may want to give guys a couple weeks in pads just to get the conditioning back, and then get him out there. So I don't know, but he'll be back sooner than later. That will help. Getting Daniel Wise back whenever his ankle injury heals, Casey Tuhill, but like, those aren't playmakers. They need a playmaker. Mm-hmm. They force one turnover. I'd say getting William Jackson back will help, but he's
not been great.
It's not like, yeah, I mean, so.
But
like,
here are the good bright spots, though, John. And I think there are some.
Definitely.
I think Jamin's improved. I have to admit it. A couple plays. I thought Payne was good at times.
Payne's been very good.
I thought Effie Obada made a few plays. I mean, I haven't mentioned.
Effie Obada made a few plays.
I haven't mentioned Montez Sweat all year, but those other guys. So there are a few things here and there. I'm not giving up on them completely yet.
No, and here's the other side of it, too. No, and like, Montez is. And I have to watch more of it. But then you have, like, Cam Curl being back is a big help. And I think the more Derek Forrest plays will be a big help. I mean, I like where that kid can get to. Mm-hmm. So, like, Benjamin St. Just has done a good job.
He was good.
Yeah, and so I think those are, so the secondary, when you're looking in the back, how can you improve? Well, there. Now, I still worry about corner depth. I didn't even know
who Wild Goose was, to be honest.
Right.
With
well,
you.
They picked him up. They picked him up at their final cuts. It was cut by the Jets. They didn't have enough corner depth going into camp. And so it's not surprising that it was an issue. But, again, you have, I think the safety play can get better because of what I said, Curl and Forrest, and then the more Percy Butler plays down the road. So there's room for improvement there because they have young guys that they hope can develop. Will it be enough? And I agree with you on Davis. I think the one thing they've figured out with Davis is how does he play best?
Yeah. Yeah.
And as a rusher, but also moving forward, because you can't have him rush every play because that's just not what any defense is going to do. Then it's just like, okay, well, you always know this guy's coming, so then it's you're going to hit in coverage, et cetera. So you have to cover at times, and he did, and he's covered the back. His mistakes become magnified, but he's improved. So they figured that out, but I don't know. I still think there's some issues there. It was the linebackers in general. Yeah. Will that be solved? Will Cole Holcomb become what they hope he can become or feel like he can become? So I think there's like little things with that, but by and large, that front was fine. I mean, there were times though, like where, I'm watching the Jalen Hurts play to Devontae Smith down to the goal line, that unbelievable catch, but he's got a lot of time to throw on that. And that makes a difference. Like, you need to make guys more uncomfortable than they were, certainly at times yesterday. But, I don't know that this defense is going to be all that great, but can they play better? Yeah. And I think, that's what they have to get to. And for whatever, people can find their own reasons to blame, but they have to get there because otherwise – it's going to be a longer year, but I think this team right now is going to, if that offense gets in a rhythm, then they're going to be hard. They're going to be a hard out. But if not, then we see yesterday.
All right, John.
Thank you, John. Appreciate the time as always.
Thanks, guys.
Yep.
John Keim covers the Commanders for ESPN.com.
I'm going to tell you something here. When we come back, I know we can go through some of the. I'm going to go through some of the audio, but I'm not giving up on this team. And I'm going to tell you why when we come back.
You're not giving up on the team, but we also want to tackle the coaching. Just put it up as the Junkies poll of the day presented by Van Meter Homes. Do you have faith in the Commanders coaching staff? It obviously starts with Ron, but also the coordinators, Jack Del Rio, the offense coordinator, Scott Turner. 800-636-1067. You can chime in on that next here on the Junkies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back, Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. Right before we came on, just to veer for just 1 minute. Maryland hung in there against Michigan.
They did.
Which was a moral victory that we were talking about.
I'll put that in the moral victory column.
Normally when they start out 3-0 with some kind of impressive wins, then they play a real team and they get boat raced.
Well, they were the homecoming game for Michigan. It was Michigan's homecoming.
Well, that's but disrespectful.
So Michigan expected to rock.
The first thing I'm telling my charges is... Hey, they scheduled the Terps for home.
Well, the next three games are winnable because two of them are at home. Michigan State ain't that good. Purdue can score, but their quarterback O'Connell's a little banged up right now. That's also a home game. Then they go to Indiana. They're just all winnable.
Now, later in the schedule, the Terps did schedule Northwestern as their homecoming game, and hopefully
that's a win.
Slaughter them.
Right.
Because they lost to Southern Illinois like 2 weeks ago.
You can't lose to Northwestern.
No, you cannot.
By the way, Cakes, did you go to Office Trivia on Saturday?
I did.
Nice.
I need to thank Pete from Arlington Cinema and Draft House. He had me, my wife, and my daughter out for Office Trivia with David Koechner and Rob Mayer. Local guy that tours with David Koechner. Had a great time.
Very cool.
Now, we didn't fare that well in Office Trivia because there were a billion Office nerds there that watch the show obviously more than I do.
Right.
And even more than my daughter does, which I didn't think was humanly possible. So we didn't win anything, but it was a good time. Had a really fun time. And my bill rhymed with zero.
Very
which
nice.
Was very
That's
nice,
the best part.
Which was unexpected, but
no,
very
Pete
nice
is awesome.
Well.
I've been to the Arlington Cinema Draft House. I was thinking about it. I saw Tom Green there. I've seen some sillies
sure,
there.
Of
saw
course.
Bobby Lee there.
Yeah, had a really good time.
I don't know that I've seen this type of response on our Junkies poll of the day.
Yeah.
Do you have faith in the Commanders coaching staff? And you can chime
well, there's
in.
There's no way anybody
right
does.
Now at 800-636-1067. Right now,
it's almost a trick
it's 96%.
Wow, that is
no.
That is very one-sided.
But it is year three for Ron. He's got him in the playoffs 1 out of 2 years.
I barely count that playoff appearance.
That's such a fluke. How many times are we going to say it? That was a fluke. Fluke, 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 fluke.
Okay, but he took over a terrible organization.
Okay, that's fine. Look, there was a lot of hurdles.
I don't want to be in the business defending Ron. I'm just giving you that
devil's
advocate perspective.
Let's not defend a playoff appearance with 7 wins when Dak Prescott's out for the entire year. Let's not defend that.
Understood. I do not have faith. I've gone on record that if they don't make the playoffs this year, I would move on. Other coaches take over teams and turn them around in a year, in 2 years. We're watching it right now with the Miami Dolphins at 3-0.
Mm-hmm.
That's a first-year coach,
Mike McDaniel.
Now they weren't a team. They weren't a team that was, 4-13 last year.
Right.
There were some expectations for them, but it's not unheard of to turn around a program quicker. Was it a mess when Ron took over? Yes. And then we spent a lot of time last week talking about it. Jack Del Rio's defense stinks.
It was terrible
last year, and this year it's early, but 3 weeks in. They're ranked 27.
And they also, they major in giving up big chunk explosive plays. And we saw more of that yesterday with Devonta Smith, big chunks, A.J. Brown's touchdown, big play. Like, they love giving
Nobody
up big plays.
Nobody disagrees with you about that.
Listen.
About the defense. But when your defense is going off the field, getting one little chug of water, and they're right back on the field putting the helmets back
it's not
on.
Great.
In the last two games, look, I'm sorry, they're not supermen. They're going to get gassed, and that's what happens.
It's not a great team. The coaching staff's We'll all agree. But here's why I'm still optimistic.
All right, give it to me.
Yeah, I need to hear this.
Give it to me.
This is why I'm still optimistic. We can even lose next week to Dallas, okay, which is probably
that
likely.
That wouldn't be good.
Okay? We have a bunch of teams that are just as bad as us.
Yeah.
Okay, garbage. This schedule is garbage. Hot garbage.
I know, you're going to the schedule again.
I am.
All right.
Okay? You could say they have no regard for us. They shouldn't.
Give me all the 1 and 2s
that you're
playing.
All right, let me tell you, all the teams that we play that I have no regard for.
All right.
Okay?
Here's the list.
Tennessee. Chicago's 2-1. Whatever. Indy. Houston. Atlanta. The Giants twice. Sorry, San Fran, and Cleveland. Those
the Giants might be 3-0 after
that's
tonight.
Fine. I have no regard for them. I can still see 10 wins with this mediocre team, this mediocre staff, because that schedule, it's the greatest schedule you could ever ask
for. I think you have to.
It's the greatest schedule.
The problem
is, doesn't mean we're going to do it.
Here's the problem.
I have no regard for them.
Here's the problem when looking at the bad schedule.
Yeah.
You're just as bad.
I know we're bad. That's fine, but at least it's not a guaranteed loser.
You know what the Bears fans are doing?
They're
looking at the schedule going,
I get
the Commanders.
I get it.
Even though Justin Fields throws 100 picks every week.
Two bad teams. I like my chances against bad teams.
Nick Chubb is going to run all over them.
We play a rack of bad teams.
You're right.
Are we a bad team? Yes. But we play a bunch of bad ones, and I like my chances against bad ones.
Yeah.
Yesterday, two series in, I knew we weren't going to win.
The Browns aren't a bad team.
No,
they're 2-1 and should have won their third game.
They're the Browns.
They should be 3-0.
And they're going to have Deshaun Watson.
Right.
Whatever. Whatever. He hadn't played in a decade.
Okay.
I am psyched for the schedule. I pray to God I get this schedule every year.
Okay, yeah.
That is a great positive schedule.
There are a bunch of average team to below average.
If Ron and JDR can't get wins against that sorry schedule, then their feet need to be held directly to
I'm
the fire at the end of the year.
I'm fine with that.
If they can't get more than 8 or 9 wins against all the bums
get
in your
rid
name,
of them. Get
but
rid
do
of
you
them.
Think that Ron Cares. And this coaching staff can win even given that schedule?
I don't know.
They have to. I mean, it's not or die.
I don't have any faith in that.
That schedule is garbage. It's the greatest thing that could ever happen to Ron Rivera.
And look,
is
and
that schedule.
And that's what you, when you looked at this team over the summer, you said, all right, what's the one positive? Obviously getting Wentz, we thought was a positive.
We have an upgrade. I still think that.
The schedule, was you looked at it and you went, a lot of winnable games. But again, I think you got to get past that. Because they're bad too. They're worse than we thought.
We're bad, but I'd rather play bad teams than good teams. And if you guys think Cleveland's a great team, fine. I'll take my chances.
I don't think they're great.
Okay?
I think they're better than the Commanders.
Tennessee's probably better than the Commanders, but I still rather play them
than
the Chiefs, than you know some of these better teams.
The Bills.
Even though the Chargers or the Bills. Yeah. I mean,
Chargers are
I love the schedule. I love it. Bring it on.
You know what Derrick Henry's going to do?
And we're playing. I don't care. And we're playing Dallas without Dak. So. Listen, they're great.
That's a must win. I'm sorry, it's a must win.
I don't think it is.
Yeah, it is. It is.
I don't think it is.
You can't go in 1-3, climbing that ladder.
It's pretty pivotal.
Not going to be easy.
When you're going to be 3 games back in the division.
God blessed us with the softest schedule of my life. It's the softest schedule I've ever seen for this team.
Better get 9 or 10 wins.
It's a soft schedule.
I agree. Yeah.
It's a soft schedule, but you still got the same quarterback and the same head coach
and
the same coordinators.
He'll be fine.
Eric, the league is so unpredictable. It doesn't matter who's on the schedule. You still got to beat them.
I agree.
That's the big ask.
Not saying we're going to for sure beat them, but God blessed us with this schedule. He blessed us. He's given us a fighting chance, even with a bad start. And the start ain't great. And the coaches are not distinguishing themselves. No doubt.
Scott Turner either. He's kind of flying under the radar. Scott Turner.
That's a bad game from yesterday.
I didn't think it was a great start.
Slow to adapt in both the Detroit and the game
I think
yesterday.
If you're 1-3 and your offense is bad and you can't protect your quarterback, you are kind of who you are. I just don't see that getting better over time.
We'll talk to RG3 and get his take
on Carson Wentz. I don't know if you saw his wacky gif yesterday about what Carson Wentz was like in the pocket.
I think I saw about 5 seconds.
All right, let's go to the phones. 800-636-1067. Do you have faith in this coaching staff? Who are you targeting number one?
There's not one person who's going to call and says they have a lot of faith in the staff coming off of yesterday's abomination.
The staff is mediocre, bottom line.
Hey, and Jack Del Rio is on a bullet train to getting fired at the end of the year. If the defense doesn't improve markedly, which I don't think it's going to.
I thought the defense improved some yesterday. Sorry, I do. All right, let's go to Mike. I did. I mean, Mike, what's up? They made some stops. I didn't know that they were capable of it. Mike.
Man, what is this Bama talking about schedule, man? Listen, we stuck. Oh, man, you tripping, man. We got a kindergarten coaching staff, man. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't matter. All these teams that you're talking about are 1 and 2 teams. They're competitive 1 and 2s, man. We're not even competitive. Jack Del Rio doesn't, man, listen. His time is in the city is gone, is over, man. Riverboat Ron is no longer Riverboat. He's Canoe Boat Ron. You understand what I'm saying?
I agree. The coaches are not great. They're not great.
Canoe Boat.
I agree.
So, okay, look at take prime example. Take the play when the tight end ran in for that touchdown, right? Okay, Kelce was out in the mid-flat by himself, man, for 4 seconds before a defender even came up to acknowledge the fact that there was a bubble screen. Like, what are we doing? All our defensive defenders are out of position. Our linebackers, man, they're a target somewhere, man, shopping in aisle 3.
All right, thank you, buddy. I appreciate it.
Whoever the next coach is, and I don't know when that's going to happen, please let it be an offensive, like, mastermind. So give us Sean McVay. Give us a Sean McVay light.
Do you have faith that they're going to make that decision?
No, I have no faith that they'll make the correct decision. But please get an offensive superstar, like rising star in the ranks. No more defensive coaches, please. No, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
No more dinosaurs that can't reach into their pocket and throw the challenge flag in time. No. Sorry. I need I need a Mike McDaniel.
I got you.
I need are there any more Shanahans out there? Even though yesterday wasn't great. Another Shanahan, a younger Shanahan.
You cool with Byron Leftwich?
Probably. He's an offensive coach, right?
Yes.
Then I'm cool with him. No more defensive
coaches. Offensive coordinator
and
tamper.
I would take any offensive coach.
You still need players.
Of course.
If Leftwich had no players, he'd be just an average guy.
I'm going to worry about the staff after the season. Yeah. They're mediocre, well-established mediocre.
Yeah. It's part of the problem, though.
All right, but all I care about is this season.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not going to change.
And you're not giving up yet. All right,
no,
you established
I'm not giving
that.
Up. We play a bunch of garbage teams.
And you shouldn't give up. I mean, it's 1-2.
Yeah.
No big deal.
Listen,
they beat the Cowboys.
A bunch of garbage teams.
Now, I doubt you're going to win the division because it looks like the Eagles are going to run away
with
it.
They're not going to win it. If they have any path to the playoffs, that's a wild card.
And you know what?
Fine.
The Giants could get to 3-0 tonight.
They could, potentially.
Whatever. Not
they're not that great.
The most laughable thing I heard
they're
is
not. But it's hard to overcome teams that have 2 or 3 game leads on you.
I believe
it just is.
Ron
we're
said
not going to win the division.
Ron said post-game that he thinks that the Commanders can compete with the Eagles. And I would have to vehemently disagree with that opinion after watching yesterday's affair. And
Ron says a bunch of nonsense
every single
week.
They would have to be markedly better on offense.
And by the way, when Ron loses, his average words per answer is about 6.5.
Oh, he's super short.
Oh, yeah. He does not want to talk after losses.
Of course he doesn't.
Let's go back to the phones.
All right, let's go to Ken in Roanoke. Ken, what's up, buddy? Y'all with the Junkies.
Hey, how are y'all? I want to talk about Scott Turner. I'm kind of concerned that they give up on the running game so quick in the first quarter. I feel like that if they run the ball more, that would have opened it up where he'd have a few more seconds to pass. They've kind of turned Antonio Gibson into like a Calvin Bryant type of receiver, Larry Sanders guy.
Mm-hmm.
And are they afraid of him fumbling? And if Robertson didn't get hurt, would we be at least 2-1?
Who knows?
If Robinson doesn't get shot,
who knows?
It's an interesting question. I thought about
it. We have no idea what kind of impact Robinson would have.
I mean, JP, in the last break, said he thought that Antonio Gibson was having a good game. I don't know what you saw. I mean, you averaged 2 yards per carry. I thought he was.
Yeah,
he didn't fumble.
I mean, but you're at least. I mean, I understand that, but at least, worst case scenario, you're punting. I mean, give him a chance. Like, let him run 4 or 5 times. Even put JD in there. Let him run if they think he's going to fumble.
I don't know if they're afraid he's going to fumble. I'm not going to say that they're going to beat the Lions if Brian Robinson's playing. I can't go that far.
No,
but
he might
be a significant.
I mean, it's good
help,
depth. It's certainly good depth. You would think
he's just a more natural runner.
Yeah. So let's see when he gets back. Hopefully it's sooner than later.
Let's go to Drew in D.C. Drew, what's up, man? You're on with the Junkies.
Hey, what's going on, fellas, man? I tell you, I've been to all the games so far, and I'm heading to Dallas, man.
Oh, wow.
I tell you, man, with this coaching staff, man, it's just a bunch of dinosaurs, man. You know, they're scared to, you know, about making change. And, Ron, you know, the defense, man, you know, for them to play that, I just want them to get out of that 5-2 because you make the linebackers do too much in the 5-2 defense. And like you said, once they get past that first wave, you know, like you said, where's Sweat? Sweat, the only thing he's doing is sweating out there. He's not doing any running. He's not doing any, like I said, they don't do any stunts. As far as the offense, man, Scott Turner, if you see number 72, the left tackle, getting blown up off the line, bring a running back. Run a double running back so you can chip, the defensive end and the tight ends. I mean, the defensive ends, man. It's not rocket science, man, but you got him. He has too many positions. He's too many bosses, man. So who gonna fire him? You know, Dan Snyder, he's on the run right now. So this place is in shambles, man. Y'all keep up the great work.
All right, thank you, buddy. Thank you.
I did see a Sweat making plays yesterday, but he was wearing an Eagles jersey, and he was actually making plays. He had 1.5 sacks and a tackle for loss in the game.
Remember, we do have RG3 joining us at 8. We'll get his take on Carson Wentz, pocket presence, and more. That's at 8:00 here on the Junkies. But let me tell you about Cohesity. Cohesity can help you follow Shields Up guidance and be prepared for ransomware threats with advanced capabilities such as immutable backups, ransomware detection, instant recovery, and more. Contact Cohesity partner CTG Federal today to learn how they can simplify procurement with the deep industry experience required to get the Cohesity solution your organization needs. CTG Federal, a small business reseller specializing in federal IT infrastructure that is scalable, secure, and affordable. Visit www.ctgfederal.com/Cohesity.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. Chunky's on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. I'm laughing because we have the Junkies poll of the day up, brought to you by Van Meter Homes, which is simple. Do you have faith in the Commanders coaching staff? And then I was looking at some of the responses. By the way, it's 95% no, so the coach is getting a little support because it was at 96% no. But Lindsey John, our intern, just chimed in. They are so trash.
Who? Just the coaches?
Coaching staff.
Oh.
We do have Carson Wentz after the game talking about what went wrong and who to blame. Here's Carson Wentz after the game. They weren't down early, though. You know what I mean? The defense kept them in early. If you look at the drive chart, I went back and looked at the first
four drives. No, but they were down early on offense because they gave up 4 sacks in the first quarter.
Mm-hmm. I understand that, but he's saying that they were pinning their ears back, that they were down in the game. You're giving up sacks in the first drive, the second drive, the third drive, the fourth
scoreless.
Drive.
It was scoreless.
They fumbled on the fourth drive. Mm-hmm. Like, that's just the offense not getting it done. And when he says it's everybody's fault, I agree. On the field, most of the responsibility falls on the quarterback, but this is where there's going to be a lot of scrutiny on Scott Turner. I don't think he had a huge amount of support going into this season just based on where they had been, but the defenders would say he didn't have much to work with. So this is the first year he's got stuff to work with, and they just have to produce.
I like what they did. Right. I thought overall in week one and some parts of week two, I mean, yesterday was frustrating that we didn't adapt quicker. I'm not, probably of the three...
You're not giving up.
I'm not giving up. Probably of the three, I have the most hope, this is maybe stupid, in Turner over Del Rio and Ron.
He's probably who
if
I would
I
have
had
the most
rank,
faith in.
Yeah. I would say Scott Turner would be, I'd have the most faith in.
Because you've seen what they've,
they have some potential.
When they're at their top of their game.
I think they have some potential.
They can score some points.
Yes, I've seen some big plays. I've seen some innovative stuff. You know, I didn't think they executed well yesterday. I mean, how much is that on Scott? I don't know. It appeared to me that they could have called some different stuff.
But if they go down to Dallas and have another stinker of a first half where
that's not gonna
he's
be
getting sacked a ton and it's 7-step drops and the pass rush is just enveloping him,
mm-hmm.
a lot of Commanders fans are going to be scratching their heads like, all right, why aren't you making an adjustment after what we saw last week against the Eagles?
Let me ask you this. Let me just throw this out there. They struggle again offensively. And they don't score in the first half, and they score 10 points, and they lose 23-10. Is there a possibility for maybe not Sam Howell? Is there a possibility for Taylor because he can bounce out of the pocket and he can run?
No, I think it's all Wentz. I think you gave Heinicke a season. You saw what he had. He has heart. He can win a couple games for you here and there, but he's just not good enough. That's why they made the trade for Carson Wentz. So, to me, it's a full year tryout.
Okay,
and if he fails, you move on.
I don't know.
And I think if he fails, you move on.
I could see,
not just from Carson Wentz.
I could see Commanders fans coach. At least thinking
if
that
Wentz
or wanting
is catastrophic for a few weeks in a row.
What if he gets sacked seven times?
That's when I think Ron would have to start considering it. But he would have to be bad for, like, I think three or four straight games.
But he's coming off two good games.
Right.
So he's had two good games, one bad one.
He's going to have six or seven probably mediocre to bad games. Let's hope he has 10 good ones. That's what I'm hoping.
We all knew going in, he's not Aaron Rodgers. He's not Patrick Mahomes. He's not
he didn't have a full good game in Detroit. He was awful, just like the offense was in the first half.
That's fine, but you saw the potential.
Here's who he's not.
He needs protection.
He's not Jalen Hurts.
No, he's not.
Every Commanders fan on the planet would take Jalen Hurts presently against Carson Wentz.
And two years ago, that's what they decided to do. I know EB's been in denial about it when I would say that Carson got benched for Jalen Hurts. But he got benched for Jalen Hurts.
And I'm not talking about like what they've done in the past. I'm talking about from here until the next 8 or 10 years.
Until the end of time.
Who would you take? And I think most people would take Jalen Hurts over Carson Wentz. Most sane, rational people.
99%.
It's hard for me to argue it after yesterday. So,
and again, it's recency
it
bias.
Is what it is.
I mean, he's off to a great start this year, and he's building off what he did last year.
I like Jalen Hurts as a person. I'm still not sold on him 100%. You know, he played great, so I just have to eat.
Made some really nice throws. The touchdown pass to Devontae Smith, he put it up high. It's well covered. Great ball. Did he have time? Yes. You can say it was out of bounds, but the pass to Devontae Smith on the sideline, that's a dime.
Give him no credit for that.
Well, Hurts is
it's a dime.
Hurts is first in yards per attempt in the league. He's third in passing yards per game at 305. He's 20th in the league in rushing yards per game, and he's fifth in passer rating.
He's obviously having a great year.
He's off to a great start.
Yes.
He's fine.
And that's why they're 3-0.
Kyler Murray was off to a great start last
year. Oh, he's better than fine. He's
good.
Kyler Murray was the MVP candidate after four games.
Understood.
And he looks awful now.
I'm taking Hurts going forward.
I know.
Over Kyler Murray.
We'll see. He's on a heater.
Well, his coach sucks.
He's on a heater. All right, let's go to Mike, Falls Church. Mike, what's up?
I'm going to swap this up a little bit and tell you what your problem is. Your problem is that we spent all those first-round draft picks on the defensive line, and they aren't doing the job. They're not stopping the run, and they're not getting after the quarterback. Because we spent all those draft picks on the defense, we didn't do anything for the offensive line, and now you're seeing 9 sacks in a game against us. And how many did we have yesterday against the Eagles? When's the last time we had 4 sacks in a game? The defense isn't doing the job.
Three sacks of Hurts yesterday.
Yeah. I didn't remember any of those.
Well, one of them was Jamin Davis got a sack because it looked like kind of a designed run.
Mm-hmm.
And Jalen slid before and then
gotcha.
He got him. But, you know, credit to Jamin Davis for spying.
Well, look,
him
Mike, you're correct. They did spend a lot of equity on the defensive line and Chase. And Chase is not there, and these other guys are playing a lot of snaps, and it's not the strength of the defense. I agree. I mean, I don't know what else you can do. You got to play with who you have right now.
It was interesting hearing John Keim mention a couple of the plays where he thought Carson Wentz had players that he could throw the ball to that he ultimately took sacks because that was one of the raps on him from Indy and Philly that he doesn't take the layups. That he can avoid those sacks by just throwing a little 3-yard pass.
Yeah, he just wasn't very accurate yesterday on those short passes early on.
I saw one that when he took a sack where it just looked like Logan Thomas, who hasn't been much involved in the offense through 3 weeks, Logan Thomas just ran like 3 yards and then was running a crossing pattern and was wide open. And Wentz chose not to throw it to him. And next thing you know, he went down.
Right, well, decision making. There you go.
I think he'll be better. I think that was a bad game. I think the Detroit first half was bad. It was bad. What are you going to tell you?
Mm-hmm.
They were a better team. They're a superior team. Right now, Jalen Hurts is playing very good football. I don't know. They're better. The Eagles are better than the Commanders. Next.
Yeah.
Next up.
Next up, we still play a lot of bad teams. We're mediocre, but thank God our schedule's mediocre. So they're happy to play us, and I'm happy to play them. Let's play. I'm not giving up yet. Let's go to Dave, College Park. Dave, what's up?
What's up, fellas?
Hello, Dave.
Well, listen, first of all, I was wrong. I was drinking the EB Kool-Aid. You know, he had me thinking this, you know, Carson, all these stats, leading league touchdowns. Well, you know, he's averaging to throw 43 attempts a game. And the fact is that, you know what? It's not just Del Rio is the biggest problem of this team. It's Scott Turner. 2 weeks in a row, they've laid goose eggs in the first half. They've got no creativity. And here's the thing. It's like, you know, Carson knew playing against Philly. He knows a lot of those guys. So he knew what they were going to try to do, try to put pressure on them. And it's like, it's not even a question of them, like, that they don't have talent. I believe they've got some players there. We knew the defense was going to be shaky, but they should still be, like, if they were losing 24-21 or 28-21, be competitive. But they're not even close to being competitive. And it's like, you talk about the schedule being soft. All those teams you say that are weak, and are, you're just delusional. I mean, Jacksonville's 2-1. They just smashed the Chargers yesterday, okay?
We don't play them again. What do I care? We already beat them.
I'm trying to prove my point to you that the thing is, all these teams, you're right. Can this team still win 79 games? It's possible. I just don't believe Scott Turner has the creativity. They're just getting out coached every week.
A lot of people feel that way.
I don't know. I'm sure it's a combo.
A lot of people feel that way. We'll get RG3's take on it next. I know he was doing wacky bits on Twitter.
Is it Scott Turner's fault that Carson missed those guys? I mean, Carson missed throws he should make. Is it his fault that Dotson, who's like got the greatest hands in the history of the game,
drops an
easy one? I mean,
dropped one too.
You can spread the blame around. There's a lot of people to blame.
I mean, Carson to blame, the offensive line to blame, the receivers didn't help him when they could have. I would argue maybe Scott could have picked some better plays, but the players got to execute.
All right, got to take a break. Coming up next, we will get Robert Griffin III's take on the Commanders' offense, the coaching, and Carson Wentz next here on the Junkies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.